Good morning, everyone. I'd like to declare the meeting open at 9:33 and start by acknowledging the Quandamooka people who are the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet this morning, and I'd like to pay our respects to their elders past and present and also extend that respect to other Indigenous Australians who are present here this morning. Councillors, I'm just going to refer you and the people in the gallery to our standing orders and public conduct at meetings. All members of the public present at this meeting must, not without prior approval of the chairperson, make any audio or video recording or take any photographs, remain quiet and not disrupt the meeting in any way, not bring into the meeting any signs, placards or items that may cause a hazard or interfere with any person present, be suitably dressed and turn all mobile devices to silent mode and leave the meeting to take any phone calls. Excuse me. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to warn a member of the public present at a meeting who is not complying with any of these requirements, and I may, with or without such warning, require that person to leave the meeting and not return for such period as the chairperson decides. This period may include future meetings. I haven't been advised of any leaves of absence at this point in time, so we'll move straight into our devotional segment. It's a great pleasure that I ask member of the Redlands Ministers Fellowship, David Elvery, from the Birkdale Baptist Church to lead council in a brief devotional segment. Thank you, Pastor.
Well, thank you again for having us, and it's a great privilege to be here again. I don't know whether you've noticed, but a lot of advertising on TV and radio have to do with planning. Planning for our future, planning for our retirement, planning for our next holiday, the inevitable hospital stays or illnesses that we might have, for careers, for financial security, etc., etc. And planning is good, isn't it? And we're taught to plan from a very early age. It's sensible, it's mature, it's the grown-up thing to do. Generation Y often get bagged out, don't they? Because they don't plan for the future. And many of our jobs, and I'm sure I'm speaking to all of you here, make us experts in planning and looking ahead and trying to identify what needs to happen into the future. You know, the Bible gives us quite a lot of advice on planning, and I think it is wise to consider some of that advice. So I want to read a passage out of James chapter 4 today. And James writes in verse 13, he says, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and making money." So James is writing to business people. He's writing to people who are heading to a city maybe to have a holiday. They may be there to set up a business and make some money for their retirement. And he says, "Why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes, and all such boasting is evil. So then, if you know the good you ought to do, and don't do it, you sin." And you know, James here isn't saying that planning is wrong. I think God has given us brains, he's given us intuition, and he expects us to be sensible with the resources that we have and be wise in our life. So I believe planning is good. In all of my professional career, I've been involved with planning. But I think the lesson is not to hold on to our plans too tightly. And James here in this little passage gives us three reasons for not holding on to our plans too tightly. He says the first reason we shouldn't hold on to our plans tightly is because we don't know the future. And that includes the rest of our lives. It's uncertain. It's temporary. James likens our lives to a mist. We've all seen mists and fogs, haven't we? And they're here in the morning, and then when the sun comes out and the heat gets into the day, they just burn off and they disappear. As a pastor, I get to be involved with a lot of funerals, and every funeral that I'm involved with reminds me of the temporary nature of life. Life isn't very long when you're facing death head on. And so making long-range plans could be a little bit presumptuous. The reality is that we don't even know what's going to be happening tomorrow. And so James is saying, look, don't stop planning, but don't get so consumed with your plans that they dominate your thinking and your whole life. Don't forget about what's important now. So do the planning, sure, but live life now. And don't worry about what's tomorrow going to bring, because we're not actually sure what it will bring. The second reason that James says to hold your plans loosely is because our plans are not always God's will for us. And his advice is to learn to say, if it is the Lord's will, we'll do this or we'll live this way or that. You know, I believe without a shadow of a doubt that God has created us all for a purpose and he's got a plan for our lives. And it's a good plan. God's determined what is going to benefit you in life and what will glorify him. And those two things are woven together in a beautiful tapestry that we don't always see clearly. And the crazy thing is that we think we could or we would know more than God. Even though we don't know what this afternoon is going to bring, we think we're experts at planning out our own lives to the nth degree. It's not a trick question, but how do you spell life? L-I-F-E? I'm an engineer, so I'm into maths, not spelling, but I think that's correct. L-I-F-E. What's the two middle letters of life? If. You see, life only occurs if God allows it. If the Lord wills this, if the Lord wills that, we'll do that. It used to be very commonplace for when proclamations or announcements were made that they'd be signed off with the letters DV. Does anyone know what DV stands for? It means Deo Volente, a Latin phrase meaning God willing. It was an acknowledgement that although we would make, and governments and the like would make these plans and these announcements, these proclamations, we're willing to submit ourselves to God's plans and his will and to change those plans or even abandon them if we feel God calls us to do that. So although it's good to plan, we need to submit our plans to God and run them only in the light of what we understand to be his will and his purposes for us. And I think for some of us that is a real concern because we don't really understand who God is. We don't trust him. We don't believe he has the best in mind for us. And so submitting our lives to him is really fearful. But the reality is that God is good. God is trustworthy. God is a personal God who has the best interests for you at his heart. And so his plans for you are good. So by all means plan, but don't leave God out. The third reason that James talks about in this passage that we shouldn't hold our plans too tightly is because, unfortunately, when our plans come off, we start to become proud and arrogant. Pride's a terrible thing, and God sees pride as sin because it's essentially self-reliance on ourselves, on our own abilities. Pride was actually what led to Satan's downfall. When he thought he was better than God, when he refused to submit to God. And pride does the same thing in us. It makes us think that we're better than we really are. That we can make it on our own, that we can do it whatever the cost is. But unfortunately, when we make a plan and we pull it off, we tend to become self-sufficient and arrogant. You know, everything that has allowed us to become successful ultimately comes from God. Our abilities, our opportunities that we've had in life, our background, our health, our intellect. It's all been granted to us by God. And there's no such thing as a self-made man or woman. So pride will ultimately bring destruction. And James's advice is not to hold on to our plans and our ambitions too closely, because if we do, we're constantly tempted to be proud when we achieve things. Most of us sitting in this circle here are expert planners. It's a great skill to have. But as planners, James reminds us to hold our plans lightly. Because we don't know the future. We don't fully understand God's plans and his purposes and his wills. And because we're so tempted to become proud and arrogant when we accomplish plans. Planning is good. But planning becomes great when we consider God and his purposes, not just for ourselves, but for our community. So when we seek to understand what he wants to do with our life, that's when things mesh together. James's last piece of advice for us in this passage is when we figure out what God wants us to do, don't ignore it. Because anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. What are you in the midst of planning today? I think James has some good advice for us. So let me pray for us as we continue that planning. Hey? Lord, we know that we need to plan in our life. We're called to plan. It's a wise thing to do in our workplaces. And the council here is no exception to this. So I would pray that as we plan, we don't foolishly believe we can do it on our own. Lord, we need your wisdom, and I pray for wisdom here this morning for the mayor and the councillors. I pray for your guidance, for them to be able to discover your plans and your purposes for our community, for this great city that we live in. And so we need, Lord, your wisdom. We need humility also, Lord, to be able to maybe submit our plans to yours, so that what we do, Lord, in our lives is best in every situation. So, Lord, I want to pray and humbly ask for your blessing on each of our councillors and our mayor here today, particularly, Lord, in the business that they need to transact today. And we'd ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much.
Councillors, the next item is recognition of achievement, and with your indulgence, I might just take this opportunity to recognise our international guests in the chamber, as they do have to depart reasonably early in the context of this meeting. So if I could just take this opportunity to offer a very warm Redlands welcome to our visiting group from Kani Technical High School in Japan, who are with us today. Also, a big welcome to the school deputy principal, Mr. Yasuaki Wakao, and teacher, Ms. Azusa Kani, and the 10 students who arrived in Queensland only on Sunday and will be, unfortunately for us, leaving us tomorrow. So we'd like to welcome them and hope that their first visit to Redland City has been one that they will remember for a long time, and they've had a great time. And I know that their hosts over at Cleveland State High School will have ensured that they had a great time. The Cleveland District State High School have been, the families of the Cleveland District State High School have been hosting this young group of students. And tonight, their final night will actually be spent in the big city next door in Brisbane. During their time, they were welcomed with a very special Redlands Aussie barbecue, and have seen some of our magnificent natural assets. They've been visited the Gold Coast and, of course, Brisbane City. I really sincerely hope that you return with some wonderful memories of your stay here in Redlands. Kani City, for those of you who aren't aware, and Redlands City have a very strong relationship, which we hope to strengthen even more later this year when the Kani City Mayor, Sugeki Tomita, and a number of his associates will visit Redlands in response to an invitation from Council. Redlands has featured a number of times at the Kani Industrial Fair and again will be represented this year. Part of the relationship has been born out of the wonderful relationship and ties that Cleveland District State High School have built with the city, and thanks to our honorary ambassador, Dr. Tio Mizuno, and the school principal and staff. You would know that Dr. Mizuno has also been instrumental in strengthening the civic ties and business links, including introducing Sirimei to Kani City, and on behalf of the city, we'd like to thank Tio for his great work. You'd also be aware that Councillor Ogilvie and I visited Kani City in September 2013, and we had the great pleasure of being present when Kani Technical High School and Cleveland District High School signed their sister school agreement. So in November 2014, 20 Cleveland High School students will visit Japan for a cultural exchange, and the majority of this trip once again will be spent in Kani City, visiting the local area, their beautiful rose gardens, integrating with students at Kani Technical High School, and enjoying time with the homestay families, and of course meeting once again with Mayor Tomita. Principal Paul Bancroft and Mr. Wakao earlier this week laid a very special ceremony plaque in the school's Japanese gardens, and the students and teachers participated in a tree planting ceremony, planting a Japanese maple in honour of that relationship in the school grounds. Redlands City really does value its relationship with Kani City, and we look forward to forging even stronger civic, business and cultural ties and educational ties with Kani in the near future. So with that, and I know they're on a strict time frame, if we could invite them to come forward for a quick momentous photograph with councillors and students, and I'm hoping councillors will indulge this little break in official proceedings to allow that to happen. Sure. Well, thank you, councillors and members of the gallery, for allowing that indulgence. We'll move on with the items on the agenda. Next item being 5.1, which is... Oh, I didn't ask that, actually. I haven't been advised of any other recognition of achievements. No? All good? Sorry, councillors. So 5.1, we need a mover and seconder that the minutes of the general meeting held on the 12th of August 2015 be confirmed. Moved Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Bishop. Those in favour? Those against? A motion is carried unanimously. Item 6 is matters outstanding from the minutes of previous general meeting. Over to you, Chief Executive Officer.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and Councillors. You'll note there's actually one missing, which I'll talk to, but 6.1 is the making of local laws, the Koala area mapping. All that workshop material is now being collated, and we have a very busy workshop schedule, as you have probably seen just recently, so we hope to have that workshop and all the information that was requested early next week, if possible, or the following week at the latest. Also, item 6.2 was the footpath naming. We expect that to come back and come off the table next week. And also, one which isn't on there is the Simbi TransLink agreement. That will be listed for the next agenda. We've had a workshop and we're just working through that finally, and that should come off the table next general meeting. And that's it. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, CEO. Next item on the agenda is public participation. Now, I haven't been advised of any public participation this morning. Can I just check with the gallery? Is there anyone wishing to address council? Okay, there being none, we won't be required to move into that session, so we might just go straight through to petitions and presentations. And I haven't received any advice of petitions and presentations, councillors? Nope. Okay. So, on to the order of business. Is there any requirement for us to alter the order of business, councillors? There being none, I just remind you of your material personal interest and conflict of interest and your responsibilities under the Local Government Act 2009 in relation to a councillor's material personal interest or conflict of interest about to be discussed at a meeting. Councillors are aware of those, and there's a summary of those in your agenda. So straight on to the business of the meeting, I'll ask Councillor Edwards if he wouldn't mind to present 11.1.1, which is the July 2015 monthly financial reports.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Item 11.1.1, July 2015 monthly financial reports. I move the Office of Recommendation to note the reports.
Moved Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Tolte. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Edwards?
Yes, thanks. We've commenced the year on the right step with an operating surplus ahead of the original budget. However, we'll have to wait a few more months before we can see any emerging trends. The Queensland Audit Office certification at the end of October may see some adjustments of opening year balances. However, no major variances are anticipated. I won't comment on the variances in the capital or operational statements, as most appear to be timing relating grants or project start dates. Cash and investments at the end of July stood at $112 million, of which $81.1 million related to constrained reserves. Council invests with Queensland Treasury Corporation, QTC. QTC's Capital Guarantee Cash Fund provides guaranteed security for Council's deposits and has consistently outperformed the sector benchmark by providing favourable returns for short-term investments. Council officers review the cash holdings on a daily basis and work closely with QTC with respect to both investments and borrowings. Council's investment policy is to maximise returns whilst investing to protect the capital value, so recent stock market movements are not an anticipated impact on Council investment returns or its long-term strategy.
Thank you, Councillor Edwards. Any speakers against? No speakers on this item? Any questions? All good. Okay. Well, councillors, I'll put the motion in. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Councillor Edwards, 11.1.2, the report on the Audit Committee meeting. Thank you.
11.1.2, report on Audit Committee meeting. I move the Office's recommendation to accept the report.
Move Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Beard. Would you like to speak to it?
Just briefly. The minutes are of the Audit Committee meeting held on the 16th of July. All items discussed are summarised in those minutes, and I move the Officer's recommendation.
Any speakers against, councillors? Any questions, comments? Councillor Tolte? It is. Okay. With that, no other comments, councillors, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Item 11.2.1, I'll ask Councillor Beard to present that with the amended...
Thanks, Madam Mayor. 11.2.1, the LGAQ Annual Conference. I'd like to move the officer's recommendation with the addition of two words in item number 3 of the officer's recommendation that's on the board. The attached motions be endorsed as amended.
Move, Councillor Beard. Seconded, Councillor Boglari. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Beard?
Very briefly, Madam Mayor, this is one of the conferences that I guess is mandatory for us to be in attendance. The Local Government Association of Queensland Conference will be held in Toowoomba this year in October, and there are voting rights to be apportioned and decisions made at that particular conference that Council needs to be represented. And it's traditional that we are represented at this conference by the Mayor and one other councillor, this year that other councillor will be Councillor Wendy Boglari, and the voting rights will be split equally between the Mayor and Councillor Boglari, and we have a couple of motions to present to the conference.
Thank you, Councillor Beard. Any speakers against? No comments or questions? I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Councillor Tolte, your turn. 11.3.1, delegated authority decisions.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I call councillors' attention to item 11.3.1, decisions made under the delegated authority for Category 1, 2 and 3 development applications, and ask that these be noted.
So moved by Councillor Tolte, seconded by Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
That's in the report. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Any questions, comments, councillors? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? I did look, Councillor Elliott. Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Item 11.3.2, the appeals list, Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I call councillors' attention to item 11.3.2. The appeals list is current at the 12th of August 2015 and asks that these be noted.
Thank you, Councillor Tolte. That moved by Councillor Tolte, seconded by Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
Just briefly, Madam Mayor, I'd just like to call the councillors' attention to the falling away of the Palsy matter, which has been on the list for quite some time. That matter has now been finalised, and I think it's a good time to reflect on the fact that this matter was an example of council being sensible and responsive and seeking to be creative to find a resolution for a long-running and difficult matter that had resulted in both significant impacts for nearby residents and many years of court action and the associated stress and cost on residents of being in court with near neighbours and council. So I'd like to congratulate the officers on finding a supportive solution that has supported all the parties towards the best outcome for both the local business as a business and employer and the residents. It's a very good outcome, and I think it's a prime example of council being responsive and finding a solution that suited everyone.
Thank you, Councillor Tolte. I think we all add our congratulations and thanks to the officers involved in that. Any speakers against? Any comments? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Item 11.4.1 is Councillor Gleeson's portfolio. If you wouldn't mind presenting the new lease for the Bay Islands Golf Club.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move 11.4.1, which is a new lease for the Bay Islands Golf Club, as you say.
Move, Councillor Gleeson. Seconded, Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Gleeson?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. This basically is just an extension of a lease that they already have, but it also includes a slightly larger footprint for the clubhouse for a proposed portico and veranda.
Any speakers against, councillors? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Councillor Gleeson, item 11.4.2.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move 11.4.2, if I may. It's a new policy, POL 3004, which is the naming of infrastructure assets.
Move, Councillor Gleeson. Seconded, Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Gleeson?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. This is just an improvement on the current policy, and it's designed to improve the transparency and effectiveness of council's processes and criteria for naming and renaming of council infrastructure assets.
Any speakers against? A clarification? Are there any speakers against the motion? Okay. Councillor Boglari, would you like to put your question?
Thank you. Through you to Gary Souter. Sorry. Can I just ask for that when I quickly came and asked you then, because this policy actually has not much of the detail at all, which this other one did. It had clarification on memorial naming and everything else. As I'm at the moment dealing with one of those issues, can I just have it clarified what you meant about the guidelines, please?
Thank you. Through you, Madam Mayor. This policy is a result of the notice of motion that Councillor Edwards brought in relation to naming a footpath on Russell Island. As a result of that notice of motion, senior officers reviewed the policy and thought, rather than have a policy for naming every type of infrastructure, one for parks, one for roads, one for footpaths, we would have an overarching policy for naming of infrastructure assets, and sitting below that would be a whole series of guidelines on how we would name each of the various classes of assets. It's our intention through this that the current policy, which on naming a park, which will be repealed, will basically just be turned into a guideline. It will be exactly the same, but it will just become a guideline, and then we will have a whole other series of guidelines for roads, footpaths, from that perspective. So there's no intention to change what we're currently doing. This is just consolidating it.
Thank you, Gary. Answer your question, Councillor Bogler.
So just because this one's already in the pipeline, so to speak, the policy 3068 at the moment, which has got quite a lot of valuable direction in it, that direction isn't put into this new one. When does the guideline come into place so that we can actually still use it?
Policy 3068 will become guideline 3068 as soon as this council meeting is completed.
Just wanted to make sure that detail was still there for us to use. That was all. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Boglari. Any other questions or comments? There being none, would you like to sum up, Councillor Gleeson?
Nothing to add, Madam Mayor.
Okay, so I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Item 11.4.3, Councillor Gleeson, would you like to present that item?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move item 11.4.3, which is a request for the contract to be awarded under delegated authority by the CEO for the supply of electricity to large sites.
Move Councillor Gleeson, seconded Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Gleeson?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Just very briefly, our contracts expire on the 31st of December for our large sites throughout the city. Local Buy has organised the relevant tendering, and there's a very tight time frame to get those tenders signed off. So this delegation just allows the CEO to do that within the time frame required.
Any speakers against? Any questions or comments? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Councillors, next item on the agenda is, Merrill Minute, and there is none, so we'll move straight on to notices of motion. Now, Councillor Edwards, I think yours is first off.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have an amendment to that motion, a slight amendment, which I think will be coming up on the screen there. Yes, I move that the continuity of the foreshore, item 14.1.1, continuity of the foreshore park, I move that officers should provide a briefing note on options to ensure pedestrian connectivity between the foreshore parks on either side of 228 to 236 School of Arts Road, Ridlam Bay.
Is there a seconder for that, councillors? Councillor Elliott, seconder then. You have a question? Okay, so we've got a move up with Councillor Edwards, seconded by Councillor Elliott. Are there any? Would you like to speak to it further, Councillor Edwards?
Just very briefly, the existing foreshore park. There's potential loss of connectivity between either sides, and we're asking officers to look at ways how we can ensure there is future connectivity between either side of the parks.
Thank you, Councillor Edwards. Any speakers against? Any comments? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Next item, Councillor Edwards, is yours as well, Meisner Street.
Thank you. Item 14.1.2, temporary parking, Meisner Street, Redland Bay. I've again got an amended motion there, removing the existing motion. The council resolves as follows. To remove a portion of the fencing panels from 9A Meisner Street, Redland Bay, that adjoin the temporary car park, and two, the council complete the earthworks filling in the spoils pond.
Move Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Tolte. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Edwards?
Just briefly, there's a portion of land which Council has been leasing from the state. That lease has now been surrendered. There is a spoils pond in there that was used some years ago, which we need to attend to filling that in and compacting it. I know there's all earthworks on site to do that already. And then just removing a couple of fencing panels that adjoin our parking area, adjoin next to it.
Thank you, Councillor Edwards. Any speakers against? Questions or comments? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Now, Councillor O'Glary, your amended motion, 14.2.1.
I'd like to move motion number 14.2.1 as amended.
Move Councillor O'Glary, seconded Councillor Gleeson. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor O'Glary?
Oh, we have many local entrepreneurs which use our parks and our roads and our car parks for smaller markets. They need a hand from council, just like the larger ones that are coming in. And I just wanted to ensure that our local entrepreneurs were also included in the new strategy that was coming up, and that we fully support them as well as everybody else. And just a bit of a plug, there's new retro markets Friday night at Wellington Point, and this is just an example of how all these new and existing events are actually helping our local economy. But existing Redlands people like Red Arts and everyone else, we need to get behind them, and I just want to make sure that they're included and also assisted with the fees.
Thank you, Councillor Boglari. Any speakers against? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Now, Councillor Boglari, I think you were talking about a withdrawal of 14.2.2.
Yes, I'm withdrawing 14.2.2 because I was not going to get support for it, and Councillor Beard has a following motion which covers it.
Thank you, Councillor Boglari. So that's a motion to withdraw that item.
I'm not sure that's procedural.
Yeah, okay, so we'll have a seconder for that. Councillor Bishop has seconded that withdrawal. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. Thank you. Okay, item number 14.3.1, Councillor Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Isn't it good that we've gone so quickly that we've got some time now?
Standing orders still apply, Councillor. Standing orders still apply.
They do indeed. Councillors, we need to talk about heritage.
Councillor, you need to move the motion first.
If I may, I'd like to move the motion as listed up on the board, that we commission a heritage a peer review of the Urbis heritage assessment that we have.
Move Councillor Bishop, seconded Councillor Boglari. Councillor Bishop, you can now talk to it.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And I do say that we do need to talk about heritage, councillors. Heritage assessment, it's not a dirty word. It's an opportunity to create a simple and clear framework that lets us all plan with certainty. That's developers, landowners, councillors, officers and the community. Because planning is what Redland City Council officers are doing right now. They're planning for the future use of this 250-acre historical parcel of very important land located in Birkdale. Now, whenever we have public meetings in this city, we pay respect to our first inhabitants, the Quandamooka people, and we acknowledge their ancestral line of elders, past, present and future. There's a history there that extends back in time, thousands of years, through countless generations. For the rest of us, our generations and our connections go back about 150 years. This property represents an important connection to place where our first Europeans mapped with Gilbert and Dixon, who went through in 1840, and then they cleared the land, they prepared the land, they built the roads, they hewed the timbers, they built the houses out of the land, out of those trees. I'd like to just note that James Willard, I have a photograph of him and his wife, Margaret, here. They settled in this property called the Pines in 1863. Willard, Randall and Heinemann's, Weber families, Robinson's, they're all iconic families whose contribution to our city led directly to the 145,000 people who now call this place home. They worked together as part of the various progress associations with Gilbert Burnett from Wellington Point, Ryan from Cleveland and others on the Tingalpa board to build the Kapalabar Bridge on Tingalpa Creek that became the gateway to our city. Their progress association created the Birkdale School of Arts Hall 100 years ago. These are the people who lived on this block of land in a house that is currently being assessed by the state government for heritage significance for the state. And this parcel of land was part of the 255 acres which was all connected up until the war, when General Douglas MacArthur changed the plans of then owner Douglas Cotton, who was planning a country club. James Willard, by the time he took ownership of the land in 1863, by 1888 he's recognised as being on the Aldine History of Queensland as one of the most successful pastoral pioneers because of his use of this land. His estimated net worth was £10,000 at that time. Now, what we need to do is to map and to track the history, not only of our own pioneers, for the sake of our own citizens, but also for the sake of the many groups, the many Indigenous peoples who he had first contact with, the brokering of relationships, what happened on this land. We need to make sure that the association with South Sea Islanders is fully understood. They worked and provided the pine seeds that became the Norfolk pines that now still stand proudly some 150 years later on that land. South Sea Islanders had their relationship begin in Redland City 150 years ago. What is that history? When I go online and look at Birkdale, Kapalabar and Thornside's pages on Council's website, I see one page. That's not enough history. We know so much more and we need to understand it. Heritage Assessment, councillors, allows us the opportunity to put this story together, to actually do what is referenced in our very own community plan under Wise Planning and Design. And I reference, if I may, the very first goal under Strengthening Physical Character and Heritage, Goal 1, which is 2, the retention of the city's distinctive character. It talks about sensitive planning, building design, construction. It talks about preserving the elements of our regional identity and heritage that are loved by the community. Fellow councillors, I need to ask you to support this notice of motion, because in the last two terms of council, what have we done to support heritage? We no longer have a designated heritage team. We no longer have a specific person on council who has the requisite skills to assess and map and track the importance of the report that we have. The reason I'm bringing this to you now... Excuse me, Councillor Gleeson, would you like to say something?
5 minutes or so.
The reason I'm bringing this to you now is because we need to make sure that the professional from Urbis, an extraordinary organisation who's provided an assessment for us, we need to make sure that all of the assessment criteria from all of the various things that will be looked for by the community are able to be scrutinised, to be peer assessed, and I am asking for us as a council, as representatives of our 145,000 citizens, to honour our community plan, our commitment to heritage, and allow us to do something. In the last 10 years we have not supported heritage. To assess this place is to bring to life the story of this place. It's to give certainty to developers. It's not to lock up land, it's to ensure that we know what happened on this land. For us to actually do an assessment, we have the opportunity in front of us to piece together the history, to honour those who've gone before, and to actually make sure that the one person who we are resting on their expertise has got all the support they need. What I'm asking for is a desktop review to start with. It needn't be no more than a review of what we have, which I have not seen. I asked for it. Council officers have received this report over a month ago. I've been asking and have not seen that as yet.
Time to sum up, Councillor.
Thank you. I'll sum up by saying that it is not an onerous task councillors. It's an opportunity for us to allow heritage to remain on the map at a time when so much is being lost, put underneath concrete. Please show that we are supporting our developers by giving them a robust framework. Rather than relying on the shoulders of one person, we need to know that all of the assessment has been done on this land, contiguous with the house and all of the ancestors that have been involved on this property for 150 years. There is more to say, but I'll wait for other people to have their input before I sum up. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Just a couple of points of clarity I wanted to make, because there were some inferences in regards to giving certainty to developers. The mayoral minute that I moved actually asked for us as council to acquire that land. This is not about giving certainty to developers as to what's on that piece of land. Very, very cautious also. There's two pieces of land in question here, and we don't want to get them mixed up. There is a current application over a small block of land in that area which is going through Queensland State Government for a heritage assessment. This is a different parcel of land, might make that really clear. And also, Council does have a historian, just so you're aware of that, because I think you made reference to the fact that we don't have any heritage experts. No, it's fine. You can sum up with that if you like, Councillor. We do have someone that could be referred to in this organisation for that. And one other point is there is actually more than just the one page on the web about the history of Kapalabar and the northern part of the city. And there's a book that's out there called Living on the Edge of Tjengalpa Creek, which was written by Mary Howes, which has quite a comprehensive history of the area. And clearly that's part of my patch growing up as well. So I was always keen to make sure that it was recognised for what it brought to the city in general. But I have got a person that's indicated to speak against the motion. If I could hand over to Councillor Tolte at this point. Thank you, Councillor Tolte. Speaker again.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And I applaud Councillor Bishop for his passion and for his presentation. It was very good. I'm a history teacher. I value history. I value local history greatly, and I don't disagree with any of what Councillor Bishop has said. However, this is a motion that says we would like to commission a peer review. I don't know where the phrase desktop review comes from, because the motion says peer review. The councillor said that he was only asking for a desktop review. I'm not sure what a desktop review involves. And unfortunately, the motion is premature, and I would certainly invite the councillor to bring the motion back in at the appropriate time, should it be required. But at this point, he has said that council should value these matters and council should assess the heritage of the site. But it says quite clearly there that we are assessing the value of the site through a report created by Urbis, which will assess heritage. We haven't seen that. I haven't seen that, and as far as I'm aware, Councillor Bishop hasn't seen that report. So it's premature for us to suggest that it requires peer review when we just don't know what's in it or how much assessment's been done. If that report were to come back and be inadequate, then by all means I would gladly support Councillor Bishop in his motion. But at this point in time, this is premature, so I won't be supporting it today.
Speaker for the motion, Councillor Bogbari.
I agree wholeheartedly with Councillor Bishop. Heritage is something I don't think anyone in this room really doesn't want to save the house over there, but I think some of us disagree on the absolute level which we should go to. We need
Councillor Bogliari, you will speak through the chair, okay, so we don't have a rabble and we can all hear what everyone else is saying. Thank you.
That whole precinct there, the stories that Councillor Bishop has unfolded through his talks with the older people from the area has absolutely been amazing. I was at a presentation that he gave where he had open discussion, and this area doesn't just have a local significance or a regional significance, it has a national significance. The wartime stories alone, weren't they? It's something I can't believe that we haven't already all known and is not being taught in our local schools. I won't disclose them here because that's at another time to be held, but it cannot in any way be undervalued. And when something is of this significance, we have to ensure that we have the specialists in those fields. Same as if we're building a bridge of any great proportion. You bring in external people to actually who are the top of their field to do that work, and heritage is of that same importance. We have officers here. I don't know, I would like to ask through the chair, if any of them actually have that heritage skill. Because previously we did have an officer who now we don't have that position. But I wholeheartedly believe whatever review we do get, we need to go external. We need to have more than just one opinion on this valuable site. At present, I'm actually trying to secure a safe future for a house in Fernbourne Road by Gilbert Burnett. Councillor Bishop mentioned his name in his talk. He was a forefather that we have to thank for increasing the agricultural growth in the area. He was actually a property developer back in 1880, and he also was on council. And so his house as well, it's an amazing piece of history, and the owner is working along that line. So we're very fortunate there. But this land, the stories are just amazing, and we can't undervalue it. And I think we do need, like we do on many other occasions, bring in other external people and do peer reviews on it, because it's absolutely priceless what we've now found out about it. And I can't stress enough the importance of it, and I wholeheartedly support Councillor Bishop.
Thank you, Councillor Boglari. Before I take another speaker, I think we need the officer to actually put in context what is actually happening, because there is an inference that we aren't doing this work and that we haven't got experts attributed to doing this work. So if I could, David, welcome to the chair. If you wouldn't mind explaining once again on behalf of what's been happening downstairs with the process that we're going through to acquire, for council to acquire this land.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is a project which is considering the future use of an important site within the city. We are currently looking at some of the constraints and opportunities available on that particular property. One of those constraints and opportunities is heritage related. And I guess to answer Councillor Boglari's question, we don't always have the skill sets that we need on staff within council, and that's why we engage consultants to do that work on council's behalf. And that's what's happening in this case. Urbis has been commissioned to carry out a range of studies to look at the constraints and opportunities on this site, one of which is heritage. I've been advised this morning that we will expect to receive the final report, including heritage matters, within the next week or two. And then we intend to present that to council within the next 3 to 4 weeks. And that's when council will have the opportunity to review the content as provided by Urbis.
Thank you, David. Speaker against, I've got a couple. you can come back to that question when you sum up. Councillor Beard.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Yeah, I agree entirely with Julie. Councillor Tolte, I too applaud Paul's passion in this area, and I share it. I think the stories that he told were fascinating. But with the greatest of respect to this parcel of land, which I'm sure is very important, I'm pretty sure you could find another 20 or 30 sites in Redlands City that would hold the same sort of fascination to historians if you dig deep enough. And that's not to diminish the value of this site. We know it's a very important site. But the reality is that if you were going to do a peer review of this heritage report, the bloke that's done the report for us is probably the bloke you'd ask to do it. From what my understanding, he's highly qualified in this area, and it would be premature to commission a peer review of his work before we've even seen it. So I agree with Councillor Tolte. Let's have a look at the report. Let's identify any gaps that may exist in it, and then by all means go out and seek a second opinion.
Thank you. I just might, if I may, refer back to David, because I think what we need to understand is the process from here. This is just a matter of trying to put a case to the federal government that we should be able to stop this land from going to open market. And there is an inquiry by design that's been discussed. Council hasn't made any formal decisions on that at this point in time, but there is an opportunity for all experts at that point to be involved in the inquiry by design. I just want, if you could just maybe explain that, if nothing else, for it has been explained to councillors, but for the members of the public in the gallery.
That's correct, Madam Mayor. This part of the project is really just to understand the site. And it's really understanding the constraints and opportunities. Once we have the background information we need, then there's an opportunity for the community and, if you like, a panel of experts to have some input into how the future use of this land unfolds. So this is really the early part of the project. That piece of work in terms of community input we expect to happen around October, November this year, but of course that's still to be confirmed. So yes, there is an opportunity for members of the community who have particular interests in heritage matters to have their say in the coming months.
Thank you. Any other speakers against? I've had a few hands go up. Would they like to make some comments? Councillor Ellie? Was up to Speaker 4, was I? My apologies. Speaker 4? Yeah, Speaker 4? Comment, Councillor Elliott?
Probably, can I have a question first?
Question or comment? My apologies.
I'd just like to ask through you to the CEO.
Testing.
through you to the CEO. Mr. CEO, if this goes down, what's the time frame before it could be put back to the council? This motion.
Under the standing orders, it's usually 3 months, as I understand.
Could I suggest to Councillor Bishop this? It could lie on the table is a good outcome, Councillor Bishop. Because if it goes down, and we're going to be a month before we see the report. I can't support this because, you know, you've got to see the forest before the trees, you know, sort of thing. You know, I want to see the report first, make a quality decision on that. But certainly, as I understand, it hasn't gone through yet. So can it be withdrawn?
We've got a mover and a seconder. I don't think we can
ask them to withdraw that item.
But Councillor, I just want to ask the CEO if he would respond. I don't believe we would actually require a notice of motion to have a peer review conducted anyway. So if I could just ask the CEO to respond to that.
Look, that is typically within our discretion, and we would normally do it as a matter of business on most items where we think there is either a great public interest. We're going to court. Or we think there will be some benefit to seek. So in my tenure here, we've probably had about 4 or 5 of these which we've authorised, which have been significant. Independent experts review that. So, David, that's the normal course that we can do that, and we generally do it as general business.
Councillor Elliott, maybe if I just also ask David to respond. This is just really for us to put a case to the federal government. So whether, you know, in 5 or 6 months' time, if we know we're successful, it wouldn't stop us going back, I wouldn't have thought. And I'll just ask David to respond, because this is just a step in a big chain of events that we have to participate in to acquire the land and make sure it doesn't go out to the open market.
Could I suggest, even letting it lie on the table, as Councillor Bede suggests, I think it's an excellent suggestion, that nothing, it doesn't continue until we have a look at that, and then it's ready to go again. And it can be withdrawn or... put through whatever?
CEO to clarify, sorry.
Look, my understanding, if you look at item 13 in the standing orders, is I think I misled you, Councillor, there. It's only if we repeal or amend a motion you can't come back to after 3 months. So if this one goes down, you can continue to do that. It was only if we repeal one, you can't come back with that same motion within 3 months. So if we put this up and then we decide in next meeting to repeal or amend it, it can't come back again to try and keep doing it. So that's put in there, my apologies for that, that's put in there to stop the, you know, the toing and froing of agenda. So this one, if it is defeated, just to be crystal clear, can be brought back at a future meeting as a same or a slightly different motion.
Did I see any other... hands want to make a comment? Just before I allow you to sum up, I think there's no one around the room that doesn't value the history and heritage of the whole city, in fact, and we celebrate that all the time. I, like other councillors, believe this is very premature. I have great confidence in the fact that officers have engaged the consultants to give us the information to get to the next point. There is time constraints. We need to be able to demonstrate to the federal government and to the various bodies that own that land that there is community benefit in us acquiring this land. We want to make sure that we get in there early and do so before they start making arrangements to do otherwise. So I think there's plenty of opportunity. This will be a very long journey. I don't think we'll be looking at any major movements on the ground, so to speak, you know, until probably 2018. So I guess I would be stressing to councillors that, you know, let's not jump the gun, let's get the report, let's go through the process, not spend ratepayers' money doing a peer review before we know that it actually needs a peer review. And I'm sure that everyone around the room, and I'm pretty sure I'm speaking for everybody, wants to ensure that we get the best possible outcome across all of the quadruple bottom line for this particular block of land. It is a strategic block of land, certainly has lots of values from an environmental point of view through to, you know, the heritage, etc. So I just, albeit we all respect the passion that Councillor Bishop brings, let's not jump the gun on this one, and let's just let it sit until we get that information, have a discussion, engage the community through an inquiry by design, which may raise other elements that we want to have assessed and reviewed, and there'll be plenty of time for us to do this properly in the long term. So with that, I'll hand back to Councillor Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. First of all, I'd just like to acknowledge the support I've had from officers. Notwithstanding that, the request 28 days ago to see this report, I understand that we're going to get a final report back in a few weeks, which is great, but there are some very important matters that need to be considered here, one of which is that we are about to start to... officers are right now determining the design phase. We are doing the technical background studies and the scoping that will determine what we take to the community and to this design by inquiry stage.
I'll just get officers to clarify that, because I think that might be sending... We're not designing it as such.
No, we are doing the technical studies, and can I just get a clarification of that? We are doing the... we're currently doing the technical... What is the background studies that we're doing at the moment? And isn't this when we're scoping? Isn't this when we should do... I've been told that we should do heritage considerations after we purchase this piece of land, if we were to purchase the land?
No, the officer said very, very clearly, and I'll get David to repeat, that they are doing an assessment of all elements of this block of land, including the heritage assessment. I'm not quite sure if anyone can tell me the credentials of the officer, the consultant from Urbis that is actually conducting this. No, I'll get officers just to respond, because that is clearly not what has been said. We are doing that right now.
That's why we should do this now.
No, we're actually doing what you are asking for. You're asking for a peer review on what's already being done.
Mm-hmm.
So, David, if you could just respond, give the credentials of the person doing the work, and just assure Councillor Bishop that heritage assessment is occurring, cultural heritage, environmental analysis, etc.
At this stage, it really is a contextual analysis of the site, so we're looking at constraints and opportunities, as I said. That includes... matters such as infrastructure capacity, environmental matters that need to be protected, and heritage. So we're looking at the moment. That work will inform, I guess, the conversations that we have later in the project around potential future uses for that property. So we need to understand how are we constrained before we get on to what potential uses could it be put to in the future. And I guess reiterating what the Mayor has said, this is about giving us the best information to approach the Commonwealth Government in terms of whether they would be willing to give council an off-market sale because there's a community benefit. So that's where we are in terms of the project. At this point in time, we're not designing anything, we're just understanding the site. In terms of the consultant and their qualifications, we've engaged Urbis to do this work, and the person they've got doing that has over 20 years relevant experience in local government and private practice as both a historian and town planner. So clearly they're qualified, and it's for that reason that they are on our local by panel as a consultant who can do this piece of work. And as we've noted, once we receive the piece of work, council will have an opportunity to review that And at that point, we can look at whether there's further work that council would like to see.
Back to summing up, council.
Yeah, further clarification. Can I just ask, what was the brief that we asked for in terms of heritage?
I don't have those details here, councillor, but of course, when we see the report, that will include details of the brief, and we'll be making sure they've met that brief.
Thank you. Just to root back to that point before asking who in council has the commensurate skills to be aware of the various acts and is professional in those areas, who would be the most qualified person that we have to do an assessment?
As we've said, we don't always have the skill sets on staff that we need for various aspects of a project, and that's why we engage consultants to do that work. And we ensure that they are suitably qualified to do that work, as we've seen in this case.
Do you anticipate that if we get this report back, that we may need to get some peer review of whether or not it has addressed all of the various issues that we don't know yet about the brief? I have asked that in an email.
Point of order, mate. I think this is sum-up time. Not
I think you're right. I'm just about to pull him up. Thank you, Councillor Elliott. This isn't judge and jury, unfortunately, Councillor Bishop, for the officers. So if I could, your opportunity now is to sum up as according to the standing orders. Is it, CEO?
Councillor Bishop, I'd just like to, just for clarity, the officers are going along our standard path for any block of land, any type of acquisition that we're doing through this. I think to infer that we're not giving you the information and those sort of things is incorrect. We've been very clear that this report is being done. It is quite common practice for officers to have drafts where we seek further technical information. They are the resident experts within the sphere of their work, and they usually know where the different areas have been addressed. And so rather than circulate very early drafts, they go through this process, and we've been very upfront and very clear as the executive of the organisation that this report will be brought to a workshop, will be debated. Should councillors then raise questions, as is your right, around the adequacy of those, once you've seen the report and you do that, then we can look at doing the various elements. But again, until then, to cast a dispersion or an inference that you've been hidden from this, I would just like to refute that. And as soon as the report is in its final draft to come back to you, as councillors, that workshop will be done, and David has given that commitment on many occasions. And as I say, this is standard sort of work for us that we do, and there is nothing different in this process than what we normally do.
Okay, so I'm being told on one hand that time is an issue and that we need to progress swiftly, and that where we're going to progress to next is to community consultation, and we're prepared to go to community consultation without all of the heritage backgrounds being discovered and considered prior to going to community, and we don't have anyone...
I'm going to pull you up right now, Councillor, and if you don't actually stick to summing up...
While
the Chair is speaking, standing orders require you to be silent. My apologies. Let me finish. That is not the case.
We are going to community consultation.
Correct. And you have been told...
Before we do any more heritage.
You have been told at least half a dozen times that that assessment is happening.
And
that will be part of the report. The report that has not been finalised and completed and distributed to anybody in this room. What you're asking for is a peer review on a document, which would have to be almost a first in my time in council, asking for a peer review of a document that hasn't even been finalised at this point in time. Those matters are being considered. I'm absolutely certain in the meetings that we've had together with officers, they've taken all of your concerns on board, and they're ensuring that the consultant brings back an adequate heritage assessment. It is unfair to try to infer that officers are firstly trying to rush you through a process, not give you the heritage assessment, which you have been told a number of times is occurring. And until you see that, you cannot make judgment on the officers. With the greatest respect, I'm going to ask you to sum up and stick to what a summing up allows you to do, which is actually summarising and dealing with any of the issues that have been raised rather than grilling or questioning other officers on this matter.
Thank you. Our community will be looking towards our city plan for heritage issues. Where do we stand? Councillors, please.
Point of order, Councillor. We're not talking about city plan. We are talking about a notice of motion where you have no reference to city plan. With the greatest respect, stick to the motion or I will put the vote.
Point of order, Madam Chair. You are continually interrupting the Speaker
and
debating it.
Mr. Mr. Councillor Ogilvie, with the greatest respect, the standing orders ask that you sum up. You do not talk on other issues that are not relevant to the motion before you. Thank you.
Asking questions.
Which he hasn't, and if he did, you could pull him up for that.
He actually started referring to the city plan,
but
Councillor.
To debate him from
the heritage aspect of the city plan.
Councillor, you are talking about a motion that asks for a peer review on a report that we haven't seen.
Because we've clarified.
Please stick to that motion. Thank you in summing up.
We have clarified that we have no one within council who has the commensurate skills in terms of the timeline and proceeding to community consultation, wherein we will be asking professional volunteers to give of their time to plan for the future use of this 250-acre site, which has history which spans well back before the land was severed as a single parcel. We need to understand the full context of the history of this site. We need to be assured that the review, the heritage review, has been done by a professional who has South Sea Islander heritage qualifications, who has Indigenous heritage qualifications, who's aware of the World War II estate around the nation, of the fact that we need to have, we don't have that at the moment.
Sorry, what's your point of order?
I think Officer Jeans has outlined that sort of thing. Let's wait till we get to the court.
I mean, that's what everyone is asking for, Councillor.
And who is going to then assess?
So your point of order is, Councillor, what is your point of order?
It's been said, done and dusted. David Jeans has said this. It's an Urbis professional report. The guy's got 20 years' experience. Wait till we see the report. You're condemning a guy who I haven't seen the report yet.
I'm not condemning the guy. If I can make my clarification.
Councillors, I'm going to put the motion because we are having...
If I can make a point, has there been an accusation made that I'm slandering a man? I'm not doing that at all.
Councillor Bishop? You're not here for a chit-chat. You're here to do what your job
is. This is not a chit-chat.
Do not speak over the chair so we can keep order in this meeting.
Okay? Can I make a clarification? Because I'm looking to support that professional.
You have had your opportunity for clarification.
I'm not challenging them or the officer.
Councillor, please, let me finish. You've had multiple opportunities for clarity. That clarity has been provided to you in a number of different forums. In the standing orders, you get the opportunity of a right of reply to sum up. You do not get the opportunity to continue to grill or ask for clarity. Your opportunity for that has happened over...
I was told that I could ask questions.
And you've asked those questions, and I've given you the liberty... Those questions have been answered numerous times.
Well,
and
I have a list of questions in an email
If you'd like to continue summing up, I'll give you the 1 minute left.
Thank you.
To do that, but you must... I'd like you to sum up as required by the standing orders and do not continue to infer that officers have not done their job and we haven't
I have not been referring that officers have been not been
thank
doing
you.
Their work.
Sum
I've
up,
been
thank you, Councillor.
Absolutely impressed with our officers at every single stage, and I'm impressed with what I anticipate will be the report that comes. But we do not understand who...
Councillor,
excuse me, must I be interrupted every single time? Always. This is a continued refrain. It does not make it easy to make a point. Officers, councillors, I can understand the CEO. Excuse me, don't interrupt. I can understand the CEO saying he wants to keep us out of...
Enough.
Excuse me.
No, excuse me. I'm going to move for an adjournment so you can have this discussion because we are spending a great deal of valuable officers' time.
Can I sum up, please?
No, I'm asking for an adjournment so that you can have this discussion without outside of the formal... context of this meeting. Councillors, are you happy to move an adjournment?
I just want to move it. Let's move it.
Can I sum up?
I'm going to put the motion, councillors.
Yeah.
Those in favour? Those against? The motion is lost. Those in favour? Councillor Bishop, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Ogilvie, Councillor Boglari. Those opposed, Councillor Gleeson, Beard, Tolte, Elliott, Edwards, Hardman, Williams. Thank you, councillors. Moving on to the next item, councillors. Councillor Beard.
Madam Mayor, thank you. I'd like to move the motion as listed on the board. And I think I need a seconder for that motion.
Seconder, Councillor Gleeson. Move, Councillor Beard. Seconder, Councillor Gleeson. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Beard?
Madam Mayor, thank you. Madam Mayor, I, a year ago, would have voted against this motion, and I know that there will be a great deal of apprehension in the room from some of my fellow councillors because they'll be asking the same question as I would have asked, that is, what are councillors for if you're intending to use community panels or community advisory groups to assist councillors and council make decisions? But I recently attended in May, along with Councillor Bishop, a conference in Melbourne called The Future of Local Government, and I didn't know when I attended the council, the conference, that one of the great emerging themes of the council, of that particular conference, was going to be the use of community panels around the world and the way that they've been used by local government on every continent. And it seems to be a growing trend around the world, and one that's been greeted with a great deal of scepticism, but where it has been used and used wisely, the outcome has been very positive. And so I'm not saying I've become a convert to community panels, but I have become interested enough and warmed to the idea enough to seek further information. From my understanding of the conference, the way that community panels, or an upper house or a community jury, call it whatever you like, the way that they work most successfully is when that the representatives on the panel or the group are chosen entirely at random, but consistent with the demographic makeup of the city. Wherever community panels have been appointed by council, there will always be the suggestion or the inference of bias in terms of appointing those people. And so that hasn't been successful. But the ones that really have worked are those in which an independent consultant who specialises in this activity of inviting people at random to apply to be on the panel and then choose the panel entirely independent of council has been very successful. And in fact has made suggestions to council far beyond that which council would probably be likely to make had they not had that suggestion from the community. For example, the City of Melbourne found themselves without a 10-year financial plan, with something in the order of $900 million worth of capital works to be done, and no money in the foreseeable future to achieve it. And so they empaneled a community panel to do a 10-year financial strategy. And the panel made recommendations that council would never have had the courage to make. Increases in rates, parking fees, all sorts of ways to raise revenue that the councillors probably wouldn't have put their hand up for. But it turned out to be very, very successful. It was accepted by the community and by council. And the council was rewarded by support in the community. So I'm only asking in this motion that a report be prepared on the way in which community panels are working best around the world, and that information be brought back to council for us to consider in November. And obviously there's going to be a relatively small budget required to prepare this report, because it's quite a considerable piece of work, although you'll find that most of the work, or a lot of the work, will be contained in the conference papers, which I circulated to the councillors yesterday, and I'll circulate to the officers if this motion is successful. And a lot of that, a lot of the conference papers will provide the information they need. So I'm asking my fellow councillors to indulge me on this. I know that Councillor Bishop will support it wholeheartedly, and several others will too, but I know that there will be apprehension. I'm asking for support simply to investigate this possibility so that we can have an informed discussion in November and decide if we want to go forward on a community panel in the future.
Councillor Beard, speaker against. Question, Councillor Elliott.
I'm a bit worried about best practice in local government around the world. You know, like, this sounds good, but I think around the world is a big thing for the CEO. You know, where would you start? You know, like, the political system we have is completely different. I couldn't imagine a council... Yeah, $900 million or something for capital works, and you don't know where the money is. I find that very, very bad, very bad. But I'm just concerned about this round the world. That is a pretty big ask, Mayor, and I'd like to taper that down a bit. You know? And if Councillor Beard has got the papers, read the papers. Who's doing it best? You know, like, you don't have to knock on everybody's door, do you?
Thank you, Councillor. I'll get the CEO to respond.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillor Elliott. Look, around the world to me would be, as when I had these initial discussions with Councillor Beard when he proposed this, would be a desktop study at best on those type of things. So early indications, there are, I think, in America a few councils. Yes, their legislative systems and those type of things and rules and governance would be different, but I think in the community consultation phase, you can have a look at those. There are some widespread consultation and papers around that, how it's worked. So we're not proposing any travel or anything like that. We would take some best practices hits around, which is what you do, and then you do understand the differences that they may have, which is some of the constraints. So you may be seeing a whole range of successes in different councils or different legislative arrangements, and that would be brought out in the report, and that's fairly simple. Also, again, through this, we have got a couple of case studies very close to the grounds. As CEOs in Southeast Queensland, we get together, and Brett, who's the CEO of Noosa, again had a, I think as Councillor Beard said, was a little bit sceptical, but they've done two community councils up there, a similar sort of vision, I think, as what Councillor Beard has explained, and it was safe to say that Brett was sceptical at first, as he presented to us, but it has been a brilliant outcome, and he's got some good lessons learned which we can incorporate into the papers for this for you guys to consider. And additionally, you know, I know down the Gold Coast, which we're yet to touch fully base with them, they have some budgeting type feedback sessions down there which we are trying to endeavour to do it. So look, I think from my perspective we can narrow down the scope of this. It would be desktop, it would be case studies. In the digital age, it is very easy to get information, and we will be very careful with that because, again, you need to go to trusted sources and those type of things. But I think this is a sensible decision that I can support from an officer point of view to give some different ways that we may be more efficient, more effective, and better reflect the outcomes that you as councillors are looking to guide us. And so I think it's a good initiative from that sense, and we'll wait and see.
Councillor Lee, are you happy up to 10,000? So that's an amendment required. The second, Councillor Gleeson, you're happy with that up to 10,000? I think the intent is the same. Yeah, okay. All right, we've got a couple of other people that want to speak to this. So are any speakers against? I had, I think, Councillor Gleeson, did you put your hand up? And then Councillor Bishop, and then Councillor Hewlett.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Look, I am one of those councillors that would say, well, what are we doing here? If we're going to bring on community panels to help us make decisions, that's what the community vote us in for to do, and they can replace us every 4 years if they're not happy with that. That being said, I have seen a little bit of social media on this over the last couple of weeks around the traps, and I think the community would like to see this investigated, so I will be supporting the motion. A little bit nervous about it in that Queensland local governments operate fairly differently than most other states in Australia in that, and correct me if I'm wrong, Madam Mayor, but not many councils across Australia outside of Queensland actually have full-time councillors. They have a CEO who possibly holds a little bit more, carries a bit more weight with decision-making, and I can see the benefit of community panels assisting the CEOs outside of Queensland. Here in Queensland, you know, we have full-time councillors to make those decisions. So I don't necessarily agree with the concept, but I will be supporting because I feel that that's what my community would ask me to do.
Yeah, I would like to respond.
Just for clarity, I would expect that's what the report would bring out, and so officers would give you those legislative differences and that so that you can make an informed decision around those and about the separation of powers and full-time and those sort of things. And that's probably, Councillor, what I explained initially. So,
Councillor Bishop? I'm taking comments. No one's speaking against this?
No, it's just a comment. Comment just to say, yes, it was an extraordinary conference. I definitely urge contact CEO through you, Mayor, to with Ian Walker, who was the presenter from New Democracy Australia. They are the leading, they are the go-to organisation that do all of the citizen jury panels that have received extraordinary success. Noosa's been working with them. They've been working around the nation doing exemplary citizen jury processes. One of the themes that recurred at the conference was just an observation that there is an inherent tension between elected representatives who will effectively, to cut a long story short, say or do anything to stay elected, and sometimes that means doing things that don't support the community. And there were some cautionary tales for people who got themselves into situations where after years of promises had left the community standing wanting, and they realised that going to the community was the most important thing. I'd like to correct Councillor Beard on one element, though, which is to suggest that the most important aspect is to pay and have random selection. They are very important aspects, but the most important thing is that the councillors trust those who are attributed with the respectful making of decisions. Empowerment, which is right up there in the IAP2, International Association for Public Participation, empowerment, so trust, is the critical part. Empowerment to those delegated community groups is the most important thing, and they found time after time that what start out as, you know, some councillors thinking is a magical mystery tour turns into the most robust, surprising, and because that political thing of promising one thing and saying something different or doing something different is taken out, the results are extraordinary. So I totally support this. Believe that the go-to organisation is New Democracy Australia. There are some great examples around the world, and there are some great links in that link that Councillor Beard shared with us, which I'll help to make some public awareness about.
Thank you, Councillor Bishop. Councillor Hewlett.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just wanted to say that empowering the community is a happy community. If you empower the community, I've been to workshops in this council where Greg Jensen and the team have put forward that kind of concept. Councillor Bishop may be able to help me with the name of the gentleman that came out from Seattle and did that workshop.
Nice.
I mean, that was amazing how they empowered the community, so much so that the council in Seattle ended up creating a Department of Communities. So this is the first step in a really good direction, but I think you'll find that a lot of the expertise is already contained in the research we've done in this council. So yeah, I'll support it. Thank you.
Councillor McGlary.
I'm stunned and I'm really happy. Some of us have been talking about having a community group for quite a long time, and I'm glad that that conference actually turned on a switch, Alan. It's great to, because I agree, you would not have been someone, and you were someone who didn't support this a year ago. So that is fantastic. I'm hoping actually that it can all come back to us before November. Councillor Bishop and I went down to RPAC, and Paul Bourne, I think you've got your book right in front of you, Deepening Community. He was awesome. And I think, Councillor Beard, you'll find that our officers have actually been crying out for this, because they were there that day with huge grins on their faces and asking us, come on, we've got to do this. So I think you'll find that the our officers are actually ahead of us on this one. So my motion that I put up, because I was unaware that you were actually working on this one, I sort of wanted it to happen. I wanted it to happen yesterday, and I still do want it to happen yesterday, so my motion didn't have that time frame in it, because I was hoping it would happen a little bit earlier, especially with the city plan coming on. I know we are planning community consultation, but I think it's very important that we have exemplar community consultation when it comes to the city plan, and this community group might have been part of that. And I'm just hoping, because we're not too sure when that is actually going to start, that consultation, that I'm hoping that there is some community group that can be a voice there too for anybody else, and to come to us, and for us to sit respectfully and listen to them. But $10,000, I reckon we won't need that, because I really do think a lot of the work's been done. I think our officers know it. Paul Bourne that day was amazing, and I don't think we need to go around the world, because there's been three names mentioned here already who are those experts. They're out there, and I think our officers are going to just welcome this, as the community will, and I can't wait for it to actually happen.
Councillor Hardman.
Yes, actually, Councillor Bolglari raised the point that I was exactly going to raise, which is that we've heard from officers how valuable these groups have been to them in gathering information and empowering the community and helping them deliver better outcomes for our community. So I was going to raise that exact point, that we've already heard from them how important this is, so I'm happy to support it.
Any other comments? I just think there's another mention that hasn't been made yet, and I think it's very difficult to communicate the constraints which elected representatives have to make decisions under. I think this is an opportunity for people in the community to understand those constraints. So it's a two-way street, and I'm sure there's not a person around the room that hasn't been accused of not doing something in the best interest without understanding that the best interest is constrained by legislation, etc. I think it's fair to say, just to make it really clear, that community consultation will be a huge part of the city plan, and we encourage everybody to get involved, every single individual. It's not just about community groups. This is about the future of the city. So I'm really keen to hear from individuals that actually make up our citizen jury every single day without actually formalising it. We have a citizen jury and we answer to them. So consultation on that will be a priority, and hopefully that will be running out sooner rather than later as we get that direction to go forward. But I think it's also incumbent on us to educate our community on constraints of decision making that we have, and it's numerous and it's very weighty, and people don't often see beyond what comes out of this room as to how we make those decisions, and often that can be twisted by those who have a political agenda to make it look like we do have complete control. So I'll hand back to Councillor Beard to sum up and put
the vote. Madam Mayor. Very briefly, thank you councillors for your comments and support. Look, in essence, the citizen jury, if nothing else, provides some degree of comfort to the broader community that there is an independent from council, an independent resident group or community group that has some degree of influence and authority to review council decisions, and I think that gives the broader community some degree of confidence that they may not have now. I think also this motion probably does, as Councillor Boglary suggested, I wouldn't have voted for this a year ago, but it does probably highlight the importance of councillors getting out to some of these conferences, because I often hear that they're a waste of time, they're a junket, they're all these things. I think I've gone on one conference in the last 3 or 4 years. But they do sometimes result in this sort of motion that I wouldn't have brought here a year ago. So I think it's a great testimony to the value of some of these conferences, and I thank you for your support on this motion.
Thank you, councillors. With that, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. I haven't been advised of any urgent business without notice. So, councillors, with that, I'll close the meeting at 11:03. Thank you for your participation.
Thank you.
Oh, look, just before I let you go, I just wanted to acknowledge that Stephen Jeffrey is our stand-in journalist today. This is last of the 3 days of his tenure at Redlands City Bulletin, am I correct in saying that? And we've seen quite a few young journalists come through these chambers, or I guess I have, maybe not everyone, and they go on to, I won't say bigger and better, but onto other parts of the world to report on local and national news. So if I could say on behalf of council, we've had a little bit to do with you, not so much in these chambers. I think they're letting you go off the bang coming to our to a general meeting on your last week here. But I wish you all the best in your future, and we look forward to reading the many reports that you'll be presenting from Canberra, I believe. And thank you very much for your participation in the local community of Redland City, and good luck.